And once again, Gopher Gridiron Radio is brought to you by the Goal Line Club. And if you don't have plans for this Friday of Thanksgiving, make sure you get over to Elsie's for the preview. You could preview and then bowl, or bowl and then preview. However you want to slice it, Ryan.
If you want to take a little bit of a break on Black Friday, I know you guys will be out there in force. Head on over to Elsie's and go to the preview. You'll have Thomas Barber there, former Gopher linebacker, Justin Consemius, the Fargo Flash. There'll be a Gopher coach there giving an X's and O's talk. Mike Grimm will be there as well. And you get to just be amongst everybody and be excited for the border battle this weekend. So if you want to learn more, you want to go to that luncheon, it's from 11:30 to 1. If you're trying to figure out your day on Black Friday, go to goalineclub.org and then click on events. Sign up for that luncheon today.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back and say, first of all, happy Thanksgiving, because as you're probably listening to this, you're driving to and or from your Thanksgiving destination. You might be out shopping on Black Friday. And to all the people in the car that hate hearing my voice at this stage of the season, welcome. I'm sorry my voice sounds the way it does, but I can assure you, Luke, I know when people are going to be listening to this, it's probably going to be driving to Thanksgiving, probably going to be driving around on Black Friday, and we're excited that you chose us once again.
Yeah, absolutely. And here we're wrapping up our final regular season preview. Once again, the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe, the border battle. This is a series, Ryan, that the Gophers recently have not had a lot of success in. Their most recent win was in 2018 on the road. But it's going to be an interesting game. Excited to get in and preview it. Before we do that, we probably got to take care of some housekeeping items. A lot of breaking news since we last recorded. So first and foremost, let's take care of the good stuff, and then we'll get to maybe the not so good stuff. I'm not sure how to categorize these things, but
it's college football stuff in 2021 for both anyway. So yeah, let's get to them.
Okay. First and foremost, Mo Ibrahim will be back for the 2022 season. Ryan, what an uplift for that outlook on 2022.
Yeah, it's unexpected news to me to an extent, because I say that, and what I mean by it is what I had heard after he had popped his Achilles there against Ohio State from until late October was it was definitively decided in Mo's head from those around him that he was going to go to the NFL. Now, that obviously changed here in the last few weeks. And I'm assuming that the more NFL feedback that Mo Ibrahim had received was the NFL wants to see you prove it, that we want to see what percent of Mo Ibrahim we're going to see. Is it 70%? Is it 99%? Is it somewhere in between? But if you're going to be a drafted NFL running back, you're going to have to go back to college and prove it. And that's where I know once that feedback had been kind of given to Mo, as more time goes on and the NFL gets more definitive in their grading decisions with different collegiate prospects, once PJ Fleck heard that, he went to work. And he had been recruiting his own guy to come back. And that's where the news broke this morning that Mo Ibrahim is going to be returning. So that's where it's going to be obviously big, because Mo is the Big Ten running back of the year. He is an incredibly gifted running back, especially in this offensive system. But I think we also need to discuss, Luke, that I'm not expecting to see 2019 Mo Ibrahim ever again.
Okay.
Now, the Achilles injuries are very significant, especially for skilled position players. Now, I think I can make the argument that Mo wasn't ever the fastest or the twitchiest guy to begin with, but it's just tough for me to say, because everybody wants him to return to what he was. And he's obviously a very talented running back, and I still think he can. But I just want to set expectations of, if he's 90% of the back he was, that's still a really good running back. And I think that's where I'm hoping that's what he recovers to be. But I also think this shouldn't be a scenario anymore where Mo is getting 25, 30, 40 touches a game anymore. There's no way I can see that happening next year. And Sanford even talked about that today with the media, was they don't have to ride him into the ground anymore, because Kai Thomas and Bucky Irving and Bryce Williams, even to an extent, have shown that they're incredibly talented in their own right. Now, I know that I excluded Trey Potts' name there. I'm still pessimistic that we see Trey again because of his injury and everything there, but we'll see what ends up happening here in the offseason. But it's huge news that for an offense that could potentially be losing a lot on the offensive line, and that's where this is kind of the first of some significant decisions to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tanner Morgan going to come back?
Sure.
Is Chris Ottman-Bell going to come back?
Sure.
Blaze Andrews, John Michael Schmitz. I mean, those are the big four that we're still waiting to see, because they all could come back offensively. And I think most impactful among them would probably be John Michael Schmitz and Blaze Andrews, because if you can convince those two to come back, you have an offensive line next year with an interior of Axel Rushmeyer in year six, Blaze Andrews in year six, John Michael Schmitz in year six. And then your two tackles would be J.J. Gaudet in year four and Ariante Irisarry in year three. I mean, you're old and experienced up there outside of your tackles, but you're still older. I mean, you're not putting in first and second year guys in there as well. So there's a lot of decisions that have to come down the pipeline net in the next 6-7 weeks, and we'll continue to talk about those, Luke. But obviously good news that Minnesota gets Mo back for one more go.
I do have to say, Ryan, I appreciate that you put this on tape and in a recording. You once again question Mo Ibrahim, and the only thing that has ever happened when you question Mo Ibrahim
is you are so much funny, Luke Buer. Mr. Joe Rossi needs to prove it.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and that's where I think Mo can be a really good running back at 90% of his former self. I don't think people should, again, an Achilles injury for a skill position guy is an incredibly significant injury. And Mo still doesn't even know if he's going to be able to do everything he wants to do.
Yeah, so, I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
And I know you're being facetious and you want to get me riled up.
Yes.
And that's what you got. And look how happy you are now. Look at you.
All right. Good enough. All right. Let's get to the other news of this week.
Jerry Kill.
Can we not? Like, honestly.
Nope. We have to. You have to talk about it.
Okay. Do we have to go through the timeline and remind people of what happened? Okay. First, I want to take people through when I learned that Jerry Kill was retiring, because you called me very early on a morning, because we've been doing this podcast.
I don't even remember the story. Take me down memory lane.
I really remember this because you called me super early and you sounded so dejected. Just like
I probably had just woken up,
but
and it was probably like 6 a.m.
Yeah, but I can distinctly remember you saying to me, just like, man, it's terrible about his health, but man, I just wish he could be our football coach. And that was it. That's all I can remember from that conversation.
Early 20s Ryan was just dejected. He was like a lost puppy.
You were so emotional. So emotional, Ryan. Okay, so he moves on. Tracy Clays takes over as head coach on an interim basis, ends up getting the full head coaching job. I think Beth Getz actually hired him, technically speaking, being Tracy Clays. Then Mark Coyle ends up firing Tracy Clays. After it was, will they keep him? Won't they keep him? And they let him go. And then Jerry Kill infamously bashes the university. I believe I actually heard this live, that he was on 1500, like called in to Darren Wilson and just,
he did.
Just
lit again. And here was the quote from Jerry in that 2017 interview. I won't be stepping foot back in the stadium and I won't be stepping back into the university.
Can we just say, like, people shouldn't talk when they're emotional. We not only know that about Jerry Kill, but we also know that about Ryan Burns as well. Like, just don't talk when you're emotional.
Hey, no. I take offense to that. No, I really don't. And that's where I tweeted, you know, Jerry Kill in 2022, probably. Let's go Aggies. As he steps back in. And so that's where it's been rumored he's going to take the New Mexico State job. I can tell you definitively with a bullet, I was on the phone with somebody last night, may or may not have been a part of Kill's former staff. I mean, Kill's got the job. It's like his former athletic director at either Southern or Northern Illinois.
It's his.
He's got the job.
Basically.
He's already making hires. Like,
oh, wow.
It's going to happen. And
got it.
Why any of this matters, you may ask. You're like, Ryan, why the heck? What does it matter? Do you know who Minnesota opens the season with in 2022 at Huntington Bank Stadium on a Thursday night? Well, that would be Jerry Kill's New Mexico State Aggies.
Goodness
and
gracious.
There is no love lost
between
head coach and the head coach.
We literally cannot omit the fact that this was the infamous Aggie Vision game, right?
Oh, that's where it's like Jerry Kill must have loved Las Cruces so much. And if there's any of you that are listening to this, I remember that day. Like, it was like 110 degrees out there. It was terrible.
Yes.
It's not great out there. And that's where I'm just confused about. Clearly, Jerry Kill, number one, I hope his health is in order, man. I mean,
I agree with you.
He's clearly addicted to college football and being a head coach and trying to build programs, which there's a lot worse things in life to be addicted to.
Yeah.
But if his health's not in order, I hope it just doesn't ultimately end up doing him in. And now everything I've heard is that Jerry's health has been in order and everything. But that's what's the ceiling at a place like New Mexico State?
I was going to say, what's
getting
up with
to a
former,
bowl game?
What's with former coaches from the University of Minnesota going to New Mexico?
That's yeah, him and know. Patino. You're a guy, Patino. You were so mad when Patino got that's a different podcast.
I was
called
not
Paco
mad.
Go for Buffett. No.
Whatever.
Luke, you were a Patino stan, but
I like things. I am on the record. I am very happy about the Ben Johnson hire. Very happy.
Anyways, this is where I also want to say it doesn't sound like the gang's going to be getting back together down in Las Cruces. Like, I don't think Tracy Clays or Rob Reeves or Pat Poor or Jay Sauvel or Jeff Phelps, like, why would, like, say Jay Sauvel, for example, why would he leave the Wyoming defensive coordinator position to go to Las Cruces to be the defensive coordinator there?
I still expect to see Jay Sauvel in a Power Five defensive coordinator position again after his stint at Wake Forest.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. But that's where it's just, I just think the whole thing, like, I saw the news break and then I saw New Mexico State and I'm thinking to myself, why does that sound familiar? Why does that sound familiar? And I'm like, For F's sake, this man is literally taking the job and his first game as the head coach is going to be against a team and an athletic director that he just absolutely despises now. More so the athletic director. He obviously has fond feelings about his time here, but the way it ended is certainly still in his craw. I can tell you that much. So we'll have an entire offseason to talk about the Las Cruces, New Mexico State, Jerry Kills coming into town. But I just saw that news and I was like, of all the teams he could have taken, New Mexico freaking State.
Can we just try to maybe close the loop on this? Did he have his first seizure at Minnesota against New Mexico State?
I think so. Again, it was so freaking hot that day down there. And
I think that was at home. It was the second game of the year.
Was it?
Yeah, I think 2011. I don't know for sure. On the Twitter machine will correct us. Or
somebody will know. Tweet it at us. Slide into my DMs, as many of you have. You're more than welcome. So the other news that Luke is alluding to is Minnesota had a couple of defensive linemen hit the portal, one being MJ Anderson and one being Rashad Chaney. I also mentioned on Gopher Illustrated that Val Martin is no longer with the program. He was a grad transfer that Minnesota took, so I know a lot of people on Gopher Illustrated are losing their minds about what's happening and everything. And I've kind of given my thoughts on there, and that's where this is free and that is not. So you can read my thoughts on there. And that's where there might be a fantastic sale coming up or starting on Friday that maybe you should just bite the bullet and pay $20 and become a member for a year. But this isn't like I don't think the sky is falling. Now, I think MJ Anderson could have been a really good player here, but all of the things off the field have to be taken care of. And, it just kind of is what it is now. Some of the guys were also frustrated about playing time, but it's, I wouldn't want to be taking Asezi off the field because Asezi and Boye are the number one and the number two ranked guys on defense via Pro Football Focus. They both got 80 plus grades. They've both been playing really well, but I've talked about it enough on Gopher Illustrated that my full thoughts are there, but it's just, there are other guys. This is also college football in 2021, where I saw yesterday too, Indiana had a couple of defensive linemen hit the portal before the end of the season. Guys want to get their names out there. Cause I even saw today, I don't know if you saw this, Cam Wiley is going to be taking a visit to a Big Ten institution this weekend.
No way.
Shocks me. I mean, he's a great athlete, but the whole running back thing, not incredibly sure, but that's where it's, again, guys are trying to find homes. And so if they think their best chance is putting their name in before the end of the season, clearly, I mean, as we're seeing in the Cam Wiley case, if he can, he's got an offer and from a Big Ten institution and he's going to take a visit there this weekend, that, you know, maybe it's not the best strategy in the world. So mm-hmm. Minnesota's also got to have some guys hit the portal because they can't sign all their guys that they're currently at, like 13, 14, 15 guys. There just has to be naturally some attrition here over the next 6-7 weeks. So if and when it continues to happen, we'll continue to be talking about it on GI, but I'm not losing my mind over it.
Ryan, once again, Black Friday is a time to save, save, save. And where can they save, Ryan?
Well, they can save at Gopher Illustrated. And if you've been listening to this for a very long time, and I know a lot of you have been, because Luke, I looked at the numbers for the first time really this year, which probably I shouldn't tell people. We're almost at 800,000 downloads on this podcast, which is absurd to me. I know there's a lot of you people out there. We want to thank you for that. And that's where, again, if you follow my work at Gopher Illustrated, you follow me on the Twitter machine, you know that everything is essentially on the message board there. And on Black Friday until Cyber Monday, we're doing a 75% off sale. If you want to support me, if you want to support Ryan James, if you want to know all the latest recruiting info, which here's your teaser, there will be multiple official visitors this weekend that not sure if I'm going to put on the Twitter machine or not. If you want to know about that, as much as I can share is already on there. And as we currently sit here, Luke, it's 3 weeks till National Signing Day, and my anxiety is raising by the day. Because if Minnesota doesn't make it to Indianapolis after this weekend, it means coaches will be on the road. But again, 75% off of GI for an annual subscription. That's like a $90 savings. It's like $20 for an entire year to support me and support Ryan James. So if you're not a member, if you want to become a new member, we'd love to have you. Again, 75% off sale on Black Friday through Cyber Monday. We'd love to have you come support us.
All right, let's get to previewing this game against the Badgers just real quick. So let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. On the season, the Gophers are averaging 26.4 points per game, 368 yards of total offense, 163 yards through the air, 204 yards on the ground. Conversely, the Gophers will play arguably the best defense they will play all season. I don't even say arguably. This is the best defense they will play all season. The Badgers are giving up 15.8 points per game, 237 yards of total offense, 173 through the air, 64.3 on the ground, Ryan. This is a Badger defense that by far and away is the most efficient defense. You know, Nebraska did have some success on them doing some different things this last week. They gave up basically the most points that an offense has scored on them all season. But man, this defense is really good for Wisconsin.
It's legitimately, in my opinion, in the same tier as Georgia. And there's only one team that can be in that tier, and it's Wisconsin, because whether you look at their run defense, their pass defense, they have been tremendous. They are literally, figuratively, spiritually, and socially the number one run defense in the country. Whether you want to look at yards per carry allowed, rushing yards per game, I mean, they're better than Georgia in that aspect. And oh, by the way, their passing defense isn't a slouch either. I think they're a top 10 passing defense as well. So it's going to be quite the test for Minnesota. Now, obviously, Wisconsin has lost three games this year. It's attainable. You can do it. But the way that they've been playing in the last 2 months, where they're on a 7-game winning streak coming in, I mean, this is a very good defense for Justin Gard's favorite coach in college football, Jim Leonard. And that's where it's led by two really, really good linebackers. Leo Chanel, who for my money, I think should be the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and then Jack Sanborn. They are two very good linebackers for Wisconsin. They're going to be probably first team all Big Ten linebackers. And that's where Chanel is just, I mean, he's 6'2", 260. But I can tell you, you're going to watch him move around on Saturday, whether you're at the bank or whether you're watching it on 3 o'clock on Fox there, where it's going to be, he moves so incredibly well for a guy that's 260 pounds. And that's where, as a Gopher fan, I hope this is, or as someone, I should say, a part of the Gopher media, I hope this is the last time I have to watch Leo Chanel and Jack Sanborn, and I hope they go to the NFL and make a lot of money, but they are very good against the run. And that's where we're even talking with Mike Sanford today. You can read his full thoughts on Gopher Illustrated as well. It'll be free there on the front page. That they know it's a tremendous challenge, and that's where I go, Mike, how do you move the ball against Wisconsin? And he jokingly says, and again, I have to say jokingly, he's like, well, I'm just going to run inside zone 40 times. If you think that the offensive coordinator is a complete moron, or any of these college coaches are, I should say, I mean, they can have a little bit of humor. They know they know the fans' thoughts about them, and they like to poke fun a little bit from time to time. But it's going to be about how do you be creative? I mean, that's one of my keys to the game. I'll give you the spoiler alert now, is if there's anything left in the playbook for Mike Sanford, it's you got to empty it, because what do you have to lose at this point? You have nothing. I mean, you're going to need creativity in the run game and the pass game to be able to move the ball against what has been a very, very good defense this year for Wisconsin. And so that's where I'm hoping that if and when Tanner makes a mistake on Saturday, you can't go into a shell. And I'm talking to Fleck and I'm talking to Mike Sanford, and it's just, you got to continue to be aggressive, because I mean, we saw this game in 2019 where we'll see what happens on Friday with a 3-8 Nebraska team without Adrian Martinez, still being favored as we record this against a 9-2 Iowa team, which is
wild
to me. But I mean, this might end up being 2019 all over again, where the winner of this game gets to go to the Big Ten championship game. Mm-hmm. And why I bring this up, Luke, is Minnesota hits the deep shot to Bateman, and then they end up on the next drive, I believe, punting from the Wisconsin like 38-yard line. You can't punt from the Wisconsin 38-yard line in this game. Yeah. There's just no way. You have to be creative. You got to get yourself in. I mean, one of the big things for Minnesota's offense, just like it's going to be for Wisconsin's offense, is which offense is in short yardage situations? Mm-hmm. Like, which one is going to be in attainable down and distances? Because neither offense wants to be second and third and long. I can assure you of that. You have two game managing quarterbacks in Tanner Morgan and Graham Mertz. And they clearly, I mean, Graham Mertz has thrown the ball 17 times a game on this 7-game winning streak that they're on. I can't imagine Tanner Morgan in his last 7 games throwing the ball more than that. So, Luke, it's going to be about Minnesota's going to try to be physical up front. We've seen them win and be physical up front in recent weeks. I mean, this Minnesota moving company is going to have their best game of the season if Minnesota's going to walk away with a victory.
Okay, so just a couple things. The teams that have had success against this Wisconsin team, from an offensive perspective, have primarily done it through the air. So Michigan put up, 33 points. That was the highest number that an offense had put up. Notre Dame put up a good number of points, but a lot of those were actually put up by their defense. Put up 38 points. They had 365 yards of total offense. They had 253 through the air and 112 and 112 of those were on the ground. So, but you know, you look at Michigan, they are very much a run first team. And, you know, on the day, Wisconsin had at least one turnover. So, you know, they had two turnovers against Michigan. You have to be able to force turnovers. And then with Nebraska, conversely, you look at Nebraska, they only had 100 yards of rushing with 350 of those coming through the air. Their Achilles heel, though, there was the fact that they actually had two turnovers. So you have to be able to protect the ball, but you have to be creative, because you likely aren't going to put up 250 yards rushing on this team. So like you said, I'm just trying to reinforce it, Ryan, with some more data. You have to be creative and run the ball, or have to be creative and create explosive plays.
Like, Minnesota's going to try to run the ball 30 to 40 times in this game. That's just their identity. They are who they are. But in the words of Denny Green, I hope you don't let him off the hook by just not being able to be creative in the passing game. Because to your point, that's how you have to get your hay. You can get 3 yards in a cloud of dust on first and second down to put yourself in third manageable. But Tanner, it's going to come down to which quarterback can make more throws and which quarterback is going to make the untimely turnover, I should say, because both defenses want to stop the run to put the quarterback who, when they have pressure around them, whether it's Tanner Morgan, whether that's Graham Mertz, they've made some terrible decisions this year. So it's going to come down to which offensive line can win against a physical defensive line. But it comes down to for Minnesota's offense, they have to be able to hit on their deep shots. They have to be able to hit them. And you're hoping that if the offensive line in the first quarter can keep Tanner clean, I feel confident that they'll be able to at least have some shots. If Leo Chanel and Jack Sanborn and the rest of that front seven have three hits on Tanner Morgan in the first 15 minutes of the game, I have a hard time seeing that this thing goes well for the Minnesota.
You don't have to just complete them. You either have to complete them or get a PI, right? You have to be successful and move the ball forward.
Sure.
But yeah, I completely agree with you, Ryan. They have to be able to be successful through the air. Ryan, once again, the Goal Line Club brings us Gopher Gridiron Radio. It's going to be the very last tailgate of the year, Ryan. It is sad to see them go. The home games have been very fun. We've been able to make each and every one of them. I'm still going to try and make this one. I don't know if I will be able to due to Thanksgiving responsibilities and family obligations, but I know you'll be there bright and early by noon.
I'll be there right at noon when the doors open. And that's where, Luke, I don't know if you've looked at the weather for this weekend. It's for this game, it'll be about 35 degrees and northwest winds 8 to 12. So that wind chill is probably going to be dipping into the 20s. If you want to tailgate for this game, because it is at 3 o'clock, you're going to have ample opportunity to do it, and you want to be inside at Williams Arena. And for those of you who have significant others in the car listening to this, it's unlimited adult beverages, unlimited non-adult beverages, unlimited Tony's Diner. You're inside, you're out of the wind, you're right across the street from the stadium. And you can do whatever you want. You have 3 hours to do whatever you want. And that's where I can assure you this thing's going to probably be packed as best they can with COVID protocols and whatnot. And I'll be there from noon to one before I head over to Mariucci to do some Fox 9 stuff. So I'm going to be sitting right next to the bar if you want to get there at noon and come talk to me, because I'm going to be sitting there having a rum and diet. And if you want to come to the tailgate, you want to bring all your friends. If you're a member, it's $50 a person. If you're a non-member, it's $65 a person. And again, if you get there early enough, you absolutely can kick a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 back and enjoy yourself there. So if you want to learn more about the tailgate, come hang out with me. Go to goalineclub.org, click on events, click on the tailgate, sign up today. It's going to be a grand old time.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Wisconsin has scored 27 points per game, 390 yards of total offense, 161 through the air, 229 on the ground. Conversely, the Gophers are only giving up 18.7 points per game, 289.5 total yards allowed, 185 through the air, and 103 on the ground. Ryan, again, this identity of the Wisconsin team is very similar to Minnesota, as you've already noted. Graham Mertz on the season has an even 9 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. He has kind of been turnover prone, as we are well aware. You know, if you can get him into a bad situation and you can get this team behind the script and having to throw the ball, you know, this is advantageous for Minnesota, and they have to be opportunistic when those opportunities come, Ryan.
But none of it matters if they're not able to stop number zero.
Yeah.
And that would be Braylon Allen. On this 7-game winning streak that Wisconsin's currently on, their freshman running back, who I can assure you, by the way, if you're going to be listening to the TV broadcast at home, I'm already sick of it, where it's the 17-year-old Braylon Allen, the 17-year-old Braylon Allen, the 17-year-old Braylon Allen. He can't even vote. He can't even buy cigarettes. What can't you do when you're 18? You can't...
gamble.
You can't gamble. I mean, yes. I mean, the dude's a freak. He's 6'2", 240. He's from Wisconsin. He's a sensational running back. I mean, I think he's going to be the next really good one there. And that's where, why has Wisconsin won 7 straight games other than their defense? Because their running attack, led by essentially Braylon Allen, who has, as I said, rushed for over 1,000 yards in his last 7 games, has figured it out. And that's where I asked Joe Rossi today. I mean, I kept it short and sweet. Luke Buer-esque. I go, how do you stop Braylon Allen? And he said, it's easier said than done, but gang tackling and making sure that we get him down on the ground, because he has the deep speed too. He's got 270-plus yard touchdowns in Big Ten play here, and he's a very talented kid. And that's where Wisconsin has been hit at the running back position like Minnesota has. Now, some of theirs, and I think they've dismissed like 3 or 4 scholarship running backs, plus – their Clemson transfer, Ches Malusi, is now up for the year. But I mean, Braylon Allen's a load. And Wisconsin's offensive line has also started to figure it out. They have 75-plus grades in the run game each of their last seven games, according to Pro Football Focus. Well, again, I understand not everybody reads Pro Football Focus, so what's the context? Well, an average grade from Pro Football Focus is a 60, and an 80 is really good. So 75 is pretty dang good. I mean, their offensive line has been figuring it out. Braylon Allen has been figuring it out. And to Luke's point, it's part of the reason why Graham Mertz is only throwing the ball, on average, 17 times a game on this seven-game winning streak that the Badgers are on. Now, you look at these games that they lost early in the year. What did Wisconsin struggle to do? Outside of that Penn State game, it was run the ball. What have they done? What have they done really well the last 7 weeks or so? They've been able to run the ball. So how do you beat Wisconsin? You stop the run, and you make Graham Mertz beat you. And all I can hear right now is Derek Burns in the back of my head saying, but Ryan, don't you remember how in rivalry games, recent quarterbacks against Minnesota just turned into the next Peyton Manning? If that's what Graham Mertz turns into on Saturday, you live with it. But if Braylon Allen runs for a 175 or 225, I mean, there's no excuse for that. And that's where it's interesting, Luke, because you look at the stats. Minnesota's got the number 4 total defense in the entire country right now. Number 4. And yes, time of possession has had something to do with it, as some of you have pointed out to me. But I believe in yards per play, they're in the top 20 in the country. I mean, this is a run defense that I believe is number 3 in the Big Ten, and I think top 8 in the country as well. Now, it's going to come down to, for me, Minnesota's linebackers. It's that, you know, it's just the whole front 7 overall, I should say, because this offensive line for Wisconsin is humming. Minnesota's defensive line and front 7 have played physical and shed blocks all year. But if they're not able to, Braylon Allen's going to run loose. And Braylon Allen versus defensive backs from Minnesota who are in that 180 to 200-pound range probably ain't going to go too well. But if Minnesota's able to shed blocks and shut down the run enough and make Graham Mertz make some throws, which he has done from time to time, but he has also put the ball in harm's way quite a bit, it just feels like the whole Iowa game all over again, Luke, where it's Minnesota had two beautiful opportunities in that game to change it. Mariano Sorry-Marin has one hit him between the 5 and the 5. Justin Wally has one hit him between the 1 and the 6. Or, no, what is he, 0? Yeah, he's 0. Coney Durr's 16. So Minnesota has to take advantage of it because they haven't won this game in Minneapolis since 2003. And to make every single one of you listeners feel old, I was 11 years old at that time. You're welcome. And I'm sure you're feeling really good about that. So, Luke, it comes down to same. I mean, it's the same keys to the game for both teams. Whichever one is able to run the ball, whichever one is ever able to stop the run, and which one has their quarterback make more plays is going to win this game.
Once again, it's time for Gopher Math. It's that time where I tell you that you should have a plan for your taxes because that's exactly what Ayers Rock Planning does. They put a personalized plan together for your tax situation, not your neighbor's tax situation, not your city's tax situation, not like 85% of Americans' tax situation, literally your individualized tax situation. So if you want a tax professional to come to you with a plan rather than going and filling out some software online and doing your taxes, reach out to Ayers Rock Planning. Go to ayersrockplanning.com or slide into the DMs at Ayers Rock Plans. He, Brandon, will absolutely hook you up and give you the best plan possible, not for now, but for your future going forward. So, Ryan, again, 2 months of GI on the line. What is our Gopher Math question?
All right, folks, this one's a little bit lengthy. 2 free months get you all the way to late January. So, let's do this. The longest winning streak for either team in the rivalry, minus the yard line the Gophers recovered the Wisconsin onside kick attempt in 2005.
That's amazing.
Times Tyler Johnson's career receiving yards against Wisconsin, minus Lawrence Maroney's career rushing yards against Wisconsin. Get that answer at Ayers Rock Plans, at Ryan Burns MN, at Gopher Radio with the hashtag Gopher Math. Is this our last one of the year? This is your last opportunity, new or current members.
Yes.
Get your 2 free months today.
All right, Ryan, let's look at some facts and figures for this specific game. And since it is the Wisconsin-Minnesota rivalry, one of the longest, I think it is the longest football rivalry played in college football, we'll have a few more facts and figures. First being that the first meeting was November 15th in 1890, where Minnesota won 63-0. Then we should definitely talk about the current streak. Wisconsin leads all time 62-60-8. So there have been eight ties in the series. Wisconsin has a two-game lead currently. In the trophy series, Wisconsin leads, 45-25-3. And then looking at this specific game, Minnesota is currently a 7-point underdog with a 39 over under on the game. The game will be on Fox at 3 p.m., a 3 p.m. kick. So that means if you're going to the Goal Line Club tailgate, it'll open at noon, if you were wondering. And then, Ryan, a real quick look at the weather. I know you already detailed this a little bit, but some people just love my meteorology skills, so we have to go with that. It looks like right about kick time, it's going to be about 38 degrees with about 10 miles an hour wind. It'll cool down from there to about 34 degrees, about 9 miles an hour of wind. The feels like temperature will be a little bit colder. It'll be more like a 32, dropping down to about a 24 or 25. So generally speaking, it's going to feel like a cool game in November. And again, the sun will set at 4:36 p.m. So decent football, not absolutely unbearably cold, but definitely cool. So let's get into your keys to the game, Ryan.
Yeah, it's not overly cold. Like, I remember that Wisconsin game in like 2016 where it was like 10 degrees.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Like mid-30s with a little bit of wind, ain't bad. But my number one key to the game, to the shock of absolutely no one except Luke Buehr, is win in the trenches. Now, I'm well aware that winning in the trenches is much more easier said than done against a team like Wisconsin, but if not, this year for Minnesota, when's it going to happen? When you look at the Pro Football Focus grades for the Minnesota Moving Company up front, it's been an impressive season for them as run blockers. I'll again tell you, an average, just complete middle average, for a Pro Football Focus grade is a 60. So let's look at the Minnesota Moving Company up front, shall we? Right tackle Daniel Faalele's run blocking grade, 77.4. That's eighth best in the Big Ten in terms of Big Ten tackles. Blaze Andrews, an 81.1 grade as a run blocker. That's best for fifth out of 38 Big Ten guards as a run blocker. Center John Michael Schmitz, 86.4. He has been absolutely elite there. He is the second best center in the Big Ten as a run blocker. Left guard Connor Olson, he's got a 73.3 grade. That puts him 14th among Big Ten guards. Sam Schluter, a 58.1 grade, 27th of 33 as a run blocker. Coke Heath, the number one graded tight end amongst Power 5 guys, according to Pro Football Focus, he's got an 83.8 grade as a run blocker. That's number one in the Big Ten amongst tight ends. And then Axel Rushmeyer, I can't forget him as well, because when Minnesota goes to that jumbo package, he is your sixth offensive lineman. He's got an 84.6 grade as a run blocker. So you got essentially six of the seven are damn good as run blockers. Then you have one that's average. Well, when Minnesota's running game at least has a pulse, Luke, I think you and I can both agree this offense is humming much more efficiently. Now it's going to be a challenge because Wisconsin's run defense is among the best in the country and the stingiest in the Big Ten with a bullet. The Badgers are allowing only 64 yards a game on the ground with a measly 2.2 yards per carry average. That's number one in college football, and that beats Georgia by 13 yards. Now, on the flip side of things, the Gophers' rushing attack has averaged over 200 yards per game this season, which ranks 23rd in the country and third in the Big Ten. So here's the thing. If Minnesota can't run the ball, and I'm going to say this with air quotes, if someone in the car there could help me out, it's going to be a long day. It's an elite front seven for Wisconsin, and if they can just pin their ears back and get after Tanner Morgan, I can assure you Minnesota's not going to be having a good time. But if they're going to be able to run the ball well, and in air quotes again, enough to set up the play action game, it'll change everything. You know, on the flip side of it, Wisconsin's been running incredibly well. Braylon Allen, He's pretty dang good, and we'll get to him in a second. But this Minnesota run defense has been very good. They're number 12 in the country in run yards allowed per game at 103, and they're 22nd in college football at only 3.49 yards per carry allowed. We've seen the improvement from Asezi, Boye, Niles Pinckney, Trill Carter. The linebackers have been shedding blocks with Jack Gibbons and Mariano Sorry-Marin. Jordan Howden and Tyler Newbin have been tackling very well. So whatever team wins in the trenches, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to predict to win this game, which leads me to my second point, contain the 17-year-old Braylon Allen. It's easier said than done. He's run for 100-plus yards in seven straight games, and the Wisconsin offensive line has been humming. I mean, Allen is a load. 6'2", 240. He's got the deep speed. We've talked about it. So if you're the defensive coordinator, Joe Rossi from Minnesota, the game plan, I think, is pretty simple. Sell out to stop him. Now, their run defense, I mentioned it, they're number 12 in the country. Both offenses want to do the exact same damn thing. They want to run the ball, hide the game-managing quarterback, and then hit the opposing defense with some intermediate to deep shots off the play action. So it's going to be about what team can avoid the second and third and longs. Wisconsin has been able to avoid those with a working running game, and it's why Graham Mertz, the Wisconsin quarterback, is only throwing the ball 17 times a game on average during this winning streak. You ready for an even crazier stat, Luke? Can you guess how many times Graham Mertz has been sacked in his last seven games?
I'll go with two.
Four times in seven games. So if you're going to walk away with the axe, the Gopher defense has got to be physical, and as physical, if not more physical, than they've been all year. D-line's got to create havoc in the backfield around Braylon and around Mertz. Linebackers got to shed blocks and make tackles at the line of scrimmage, and the secondary cannot afford to miss any tackles or else Braylon Allen is going to be off to the races. If you can contain Allen and make him rush for only, say, 100 yards instead of 200 and make Graham Mertz beat you, you're going to have a shot. And then I mentioned it earlier in the show, Luke, my last key to the game, empty the damn playbook, Mike Sanford. Because, I mean, why not? I mean, literally, what is there to lose at this point? You're going against one of the top defenses in college football, and we've seen very little trickeration from this Gopher offense all season. I can't imagine that Jim Leonard, the Wisconsin defensive coordinator, would even know what to prepare for a trickeration variety. So why not dedicate a few plays this week to getting creative? Maybe a halfback pass out of that toss sweep. Maybe you go play action boot, but then you throw it all the way across to the field where you have a running back or tight end waiting. I mean, I'm open to suggestions at this point, but there really isn't a lot of pressure on Minnesota in my eyes. Expectations are for Wisconsin to win this game like they have so many times in recent memory. And this is where I bring up the unpleasant thought that Minnesota has not beaten Wisconsin in Minneapolis since 2003. Now, I don't expect to see Sanford abandon the principles of a PJ Fleck offense, and I don't expect Fleck to let him do that. You're going to see a lot of running. You're going to see some play action. But how about some creativity, and maybe you even throw out of the Wildcat again? But its creativity is going to be crucial for Mike Sanford if the Gophers are going to be able to put up enough points to get a victory, Luke.
Again, Ryan, we talk all the time that you have to have a plan when you run into adverse situations. And one of the ways to do that is to have insurance, whether it be your car, your home, your business, your boat, your UTV. It doesn't matter. And the Burns Insurance Agency can offer that for you.
They absolutely can. And like I've talked about so many times on this podcast, my father loves to shop. The owner of the Burns Insurance Agency, Bill Burns, big, giant Gopher fan. And I'm not talking about shopping for Amazon or whether you're out on Black Friday or whatever it is. The Burns Insurance Agency will shop your insurance rates and your coverage for you. And that's what an independent insurance agent gets to do. He's got access to over 20 different insurance companies to shop for the best coverage at the best price for you every single year, year after year. So let the Burns Insurance Agency do the insurance shopping for you this year. Contact him and email him at bill@insurancebyburns.com or check out them out at insurancebyburns.com.
All right, let's take a look around the Big Ten before we get to our prediction for this Minnesota-Wisconsin game, Ryan. I think the game that I am most interested in watching this weekend outside of the Minnesota game is in fact the Maryland Rutgers game, which is the right to play in a bowl game. So both teams sit at 5-6. They both have.
Are you going to ignore the Black Friday game?
No. I mean, this one I just think is there's just so much here, right? Both of these programs have struggled a lot. I have a coworker. That's
I like
a big,
how excited you are just to see what struggling team. What's the line? What's the line in this game?
So it's 11 a.m. kick on BTN for those that want to record it, like I'm going to.
$7 to get into Piscataway in case you got some extra cash laying around.
The over under is 53 with Maryland as a 1.5 point favorite.
Here's why I say how, because Maryland's offense has been so much better than Rutgers, but Maryland's defense has been so much better than worse than Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking Maryland in this game just because I can't see a way where Rutgers can put enough points on the board. But maybe that's me underestimating how bad Mike Locksley's defense is.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why I'm so giddy about this. It's partly because I have a coworker that's a Rutgers alum, huge football fan, huge Rutgers mm-hmm. football fan. And he is just like, we need the practices. We need the practices. So,
well, here's the other thing, like for the Minnesota angle, whoever wins this, you're hoping that the Big Ten sends them to the Pinstripe Bowl, because I know I am. I have no interest in going to New York City on like December the 29th.
Oh, please.
And I would much rather go to like Nashville or Phoenix or Las Vegas.
I hear that from the weather standpoint, but
right.
If you could go to New York with your significant other, like she's definitely going to go to New York.
She would want to go. Yes. Yeah. But it's also like, I want to go somewhere warm. Like I'm already, I like the cold. I do. I keep my house at a balmy 63 degrees.
I'm aware.
Of you out there are jealous of that.
Yeah.
But I have no interest in going to an expensive place where it's already cold. And because sports writers matter, okay, I think it's an open air press box. Now, I would be fine, but I can already hear the moaning and groaning from the other Minnesota media that would be there who didn't invest in hand and toe warmers.
Because you know so well. Okay, well, let's skip on to the Friday night matchup. This features Iowa at Nebraska. Obviously, we know Adrian Martinez is out. Currently, as it sits, Nebraska still is a one-point favorite with a 41 over-under. Or game total, whatever. I'm just going to say what I say. We're just going to go
just
with that.
Just call it over-under.
Over-under, whatever. Yeah, that's what it says on the website here. And you know, this is... It's just wild to me that a 9-2 Iowa team is going to be a 1-point dog on the road to the greatest 3-8 football team of all time.
Without their starting quarterback, as news broke this week that Adrian Martinez isn't going to be playing, and they're still not favored. And I will say the same thing I said in last week's episode. I think this game isn't close, and I don't know what way it'll go. But what I mean by that is if Nebraska's offense clicks, if Nebraska's offense clicks against Iowa's defense, I think it's a double-digit point win. If Iowa forces the turnovers against the backup quarterback, it's going to be a double-digit Iowa point win. There will be no in-between. It will be rocking in Lincoln at 12:30 on Black Friday. And again, why this game matters is if Nebraska wins and then Minnesota wins along with Purdue, Minnesota goes to Indianapolis. Iowa beats Nebraska, Minnesota's got no shot at the West, and they only get to play for the axe, only in quotation marks there, only for the axe. But it is wild to me that even without Adrian Martinez, Vegas still thinks that the greatest 3-8 team to ever grace us with their presence in Scott Frost's Nebraska team is still a favorite.
I did see Bill Connelly actually was able to basically crown Nebraska the greatest 3-8 team by his S&P Plus metrics.
How many Nebraska fans do you think are going to put that in their tombstones?
Oh.
That 2021 team, greatest 3-win team of all time.
It might end up being 4-win team. It's not over yet.
I mean, if you're a Minnesota fan, you better be hoping so, because then it becomes a little bit more interesting.
We need them
Saturday.
Okay, on ABC at 2:30, you've got Michigan State hosting Penn State. And I will tell you this, Ryan. Penn State is a 1-point favorite, 52 over under.
Well, did you see James Franklin also got a 10-year extension?
Yeah, good for him, man. Good for him.
I mean, I'm sure.
I did see the buyout in like 2 years is only $2 million. So at the end of the day, like we've talked about this, the length doesn't matter as much as the buyout, right? That's the thing that kind of matters.
No doubt.
So, but
so wait. So PJ Flex got a higher buyout than James Franklin?
Apparently.
Wow.
It's like interesting. It's like 2024. I can't remember the exact year because I was reading this online, but a couple days, or maybe it was yesterday. The days just meld together when you have two children, yeah. Ryan. But it drops to $2 million like pretty quick. So he'll be up for another renegotiation. Well, so
it's also interesting that Michigan State opened as a one-point favorite, and now it has swung 2.5 points
makes,
to Penn State.
It makes sense, Ryan, because what can Penn State not do?
Run the ball.
And what can Michigan State not do?
I just feel like it's recency bias. I feel like it's recency bias, yeah. Because Ohio State's offense just exacerbates the problem.
Yeah.
Because they have the best. And so, yes, Penn State should be able to put up points in this game, in theory. Michigan State, I still think, should be able to put up points, even though this is a good Penn State defense.
Right.
So which one are you going to take, Penn State or Michigan State?
I think I'd take Michigan State, but I can see why Penn State is favored here.
Okay.
I can understand the logic here. I guess either way, it doesn't surprise me, but I'll take Michigan State because they need it so bad for Kenneth Walker's Heisman hopes that I think are completely dead.
So that kind of brings me to I already mentioned them. I mean, you got hashtag the game, Ohio State, Michigan, and in the big house.
Yep.
At 11 a.m. on Fox, looks like Ohio State is an 8.5-point favorite, 64 over under.
I'm Did you see the get-in right price?
No, what is it? No, let me guess. Like $300?
$225.
Jeez.
So I have a coworker that lives in Ann Arbor, and he's actually an adjunct professor there, and he also is like a quite a big football fan, and he's just like. Nobody's confident. No one. Not a single person is confident.
I don't see khaki pants winning.
No,
this game.
I don't either. I mean, but just think about that. Number 5 Michigan. Nobody is confident against number 2 Ohio State. Well,
again, I think it's Ohio State and Georgia and everybody else right now. Say what you will about Alabama. Say what you will about Cincinnati. But like Ohio State's offense right now is just it's at another level. I mean, that's why me as a Heisman voter, I'm well aware of CJ Stroud and I'm well aware of Bryce Young, but it's just that offense is just click. I don't know that I can see enough from Michigan's offense to just like it is with every single Ohio State game we talk about. I don't think they have enough firepower to keep up with Stroud.
No,
Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Travion Henderson, Jackson Smith and Jabba. I mean, they are just so gifted over there that I don't know that they have enough.
All right. So Illinois hosting Northwestern. Illinois is a 6.5-point favorite, 43.5 over
this
under.
This whole game is gross.
But here's the interesting thing.
Like 3?
43.5. Here's the thing that is interesting. If Illinois wins, they could potentially make a bowl game. At 5 wins because of, you know, the number of bowl games, et cetera, their academic standing, like there is a legit chance. So this is kind of a big game for Illinois, especially early in the Bielema era to get those extra practices.
Well, that's the thing is that I think if they win, the Big Ten doesn't have enough teams to fill all their slots.
Exactly. Yep.
So you know where Illinois gets to go? One of your favorite haunts, the day after Christmas, they get the go spend Christmas in Detroit, baby.
Yep.
Greek Town Casino on a Christmas night is one of the saddest scenes I've ever seen in my entire life, and they would have the right to go do that if they're able to take care of business against Fitzy's Northwestern Wildcats.
All right, let's take a look at Purdue hosting Indiana. Purdue is a heavy favorite at 15 points with an over-under of 50.5. The Hoosiers obviously are looking to get their first win in Big Ten play while Purdue is trying to make some miracle attempt to win the Big Ten West, or at least tie for the Big Ten West lead. And they're looking to go 6-3 in conference play. So, Ryan, I think Purdue is going to run away with this quite easily. What say you?
There's just no way Indiana can score enough points to keep up with Purdue. Unless Aiden O'Connell absolutely implodes. And by the way, that is second team all Big Ten quarterback in my mind, Aiden O'Connell, unless you have another quarterback that
no,
you think should be behind CJ Stroud.
I'm with you. I think if Sean Clifford would have stayed healthy, maybe. But yeah, I'm with you.
But yes, I think Purdue runs away with this thing, and that's where again, if you just have the favorites win in Nebraska and Purdue, and the Minnesota pulls the upset, it's going to be a lot of you looking into Indianapolis flights to take on Ohio State again next weekend. But obviously, that leads us into our game, Luke, and our predictions for the Gophers versus the Badgers.
All right, just a reminder that the over-under for this game is 39. The Badgers are favored by 7. On the season, the Badgers are 6-5-0 against the spread, while the Gophers are 6-4-1. So, Ryan, I will say this. For the Gophers to win, Tanner Morgan has to eclipse the 2,000-yard mark on the season. He currently has 1,736. He needs to be definitely over 2,000. He needs to throw for at least 200-plus yards for the Gophers to have a chance to win this game, in my opinion. You're going to need a receiver not named Chris Ottman-Bell to step up as well. Ottman-Bell obviously would likely have to have a big game, but they're going to need some diversity in the pass game. And frankly speaking, they're going to have to be efficient in the run. They don't have to be like 5 yards a carry efficient, but they have to be at least 3.5 to 4 just to keep them honest. And they got to keep Tanner clean. But I just really think that at the end of the day, Wisconsin's defense is too good. They're going to make just enough plays. It's going to be very close. I do pick the Gophers to cover. I think it'll be 24-21, Ryan. I will take the over.
How did you? I'm mad because you took.
Did I literally take it everything?
Yeah, and that's where it's interesting. Like, if you believe the advanced analytics from our guy Stats of War on Twitter, just puts in a bunch of numbers into a machine.
We got to get him on the podcast, Ryan. We do. We have to get him on the podcast.
Him and House. House would literally be 6 to midnight listening to Stats of War.
Let's okay. Off season thing for me to do. House and Stats of War.
So why I mention him is the advanced stats have this game 23 Wisconsin, 22 Minnesota. I mean, they have it a lot closer than what the Vegas spread is, which is Minnesota +7. And like I said earlier, my three keys to the game, you win in the trenches, you contain Braylon Allen, you empty the damn playbook on offense. But it's just, I'm laughing because both teams just want to do the same thing. They want to run the ball a ton, of which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Luke, Wisconsin runs the ball third most on early downs in the entire country, and Minnesota's like sixth most. So both teams just want to pound the rock. So it comes down to a lot of the same things the Iowa game did. Who wins the explosive plays battle? Who wins the turnover battle? Who wins the field position battle? And until PJ Fleck can show he can get over the hump against a really, really good Wisconsin defense, no less, I just can't pick the maroon and gold. So I'm with Luke. I got this game 24-21 Wisconsin. And unfortunately, the axe stays in Madison for another year.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank our sponsors again this season, the Goal Line Club, Ayers Rock Planning, and the Burns Insurance Agency. Again, it's been a blast doing this. Thank you for listening. We'll be back to break it down once again. Thanks for listening, and go Gophers.